to this week's Bright Church podcast. We hope you're encouraged by this message.
It's always an honour to stand before people and represent God, represent His Word. I don't take it lightly. It's great to be here from Eve, my wife. Some of you know Evie. She would love to have been here. She's getting ready for our Christmas night tonight in Hornsby, our Christmas service. So she sends her love, and next time I promise, if we get invited back, right, I'm bringing my wife. But Brad and Amy, thank you guys. Such a privilege to be here this morning. I want to honour you both as the pastors of this church, and say thank you for our friendship. Thank you. They've sown so much into us personally, into our church, into our ministry, into our family life. And 15 years, hey, I don't take that lightly. Kind of gets me feeling a bit older, but I know Brad's still a young buck. Hey, it's great to be here. Amen, amen, amen. Moya and Rowie, how amazing are you guys? Where are you seated? Yeah. I'm pretty sure... Moya, you must have been reading my sermon notes or something, but you said a line, something like this, about making room in our hearts for Jesus. You remember that? And that's so my theme tonight, today, I should say. If I say tonight, I'm used to preaching at 6 o'clock, so when our church meets, but you'll forgive me, right? But today my theme is this. I'm preaching about the good news, or if you like, the gospel of spaciousness. The gospel of spaciousness, the good news of spaciousness, spaciousness, spaciousness. Just put on your heart this morning, put your hand on your heart and say, Jesus, I want more space. I want more space. Can you do that? You probably have no idea even what that blessing is like, but just in faith right now, if you want to provide more space for Jesus to come into your life and your heart, and if you want to have a sense of what it is to be enlarged and to have tomorrow be bigger than today, 2:19. Who actually believes? I so believe the coast for Jesus, eh? Central coast for Jesus, the coast for Jesus. If you can just join with that prayer, that's going to need you to have a bigger heart and more space. But hey, it's not really a Christmas message, but nonetheless, I'm starting with that moment when Jesus was born on the earth. I'm going to read to you from the book of Luke. And pretty good looking at the screen down here. I can't see my face. That's a good thing. But this is what it says in Luke chapter 2. It says, and she gave birth to her firstborn, talking about Mary, a son. And she wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Another version says there was no upper room space available. If you like, there was no space for Jesus. No one had prepared a space for him. And I have many memories of Christmas. Probably one of my boyhood, grown-up memories. Family of five kids. Grew up in Adelaide. I loved Christmas because I could eat all I wanted to. That was that was kind of like the thing. Anybody say amen to that? But growing up with three brothers and one sister and one income earner. This is in the days when Mum stayed at home. Love my mum. She's with Jesus today. But Mum stayed at home. It wasn't all. I never actually thought about provision and food and money a lot. But I never went hungry. But Christmas Day was special. I could eat all I wanted to. I was the oldest in my family, so I had big brother privileges. But Christmas afternoon was like this. Can you relate to this? We would eat so much, my brothers and I, and we would stuff ourselves silly, and then we would get out on the back lawn, we used to call it in Adelaide, and we'd roll around in agony, just holding our bellies, right, thinking, I feel so full, like if I move too fast, you know, goodness knows, the food might come out again, that wouldn't be good, but this is what we learnt. Here's a secret, if you want to learn a secret. I learnt, if I could drink more Coca-Cola, then after a little while, anybody ever done that? You start to feel the food kind of breaking down and a few burps later, and you're ready for the night time. But you're ready to go again. But for me, honestly, I feel like this, that Christmas time, there's often not enough space. I wonder if you can agree with that. Who feels a bit cramped for space at the moment in your timetable, your diaries, your finances, your emotional world, your physical energy? I had a bad moment yesterday. I can say this, and Evie would be here. kind of encouraging me in my confession. But yesterday morning, my wife said to me, "Dale, I want to go to Westfield." I thought, "Oh, please, Lord, I don't want to go to Westfield." But and there was this list of things, and I just didn't want to do it, and I was a bit kind of grumpy about the whole thought. But I just didn't feel like I had space right then. We'd been in the shops the night before and thought, "Oh, Jesus." But anyway, off we went, and we got there early, and it went okay. But just that moment of feeling, I just want to have a day off. I just want to rest. I don't want to do extra stuff. I don't want to go anywhere near shops and crowds. Do you have crowds on the coast? Yeah. I mean, really, we're from Sydney. I figure that most of you are grateful to see Sydney in your rear vision mirror. Is that true? And I was talking to, I think it might have been, was it Ron? Where are you, Ron? Who's just moved a little while ago from Blacktown. I know Blacktown very well. And I figure that maybe on the coast you have more space than we have in Sydney. I wonder if that's true, more physical space. There's an affordability, housing affordability crisis in generally in our nation, but space, no space. Did you know that the enemy of our souls is after the space in your heart today? Did you know that if there's a space crisis, I believe there is, that it's actually a crisis for things that would compete with space in us? And today I'm going to share with you three principles that I just hope kind of bless you and give you some understanding for how you can move into the next year. Principles about how you can actually recover some space, and some good ways to regard space, and some good ways to have more space in 2019. Does anybody want more space? So, Jesus, would you come again, and would you bless your word? Would you open up hearts? Would you just make this time, as it were, completely productive and fruitful? And would you cause in a few minutes now something more to be deposited than physically is doable in the amount of time we have? And would it change lives, change hearts, and change the coast? So, my story. Kind of kick-off story, a story that Brad and I actually a lot of years ago used to talk about in a program we did called, was it called Thrive then or Discovery? I can't remember. But Genesis 26, I don't know whether you've ever kind of come across this story, but I love this story because it's a story about room. It's a story about space. It's a story about the good news of spaciousness. And this is the story of Isaac. Isaac's kind of a type of what it is for you and me to be sons of the living God. He's you understand the word type like a metaphor, like an example in the Old Testament for what it is like for you and me to be sons and daughters of the King. And this is an incredible story, and it comes on the back of Isaac actually having planted a crop and in 1 year had 100-fold harvest. Do you know what that looks like? Imagine if you could invest a dollar and be sure at the end of the year, that was worth 100. Imagine if you could buy stocks and shares. So this is what he did. It was an incredible favor and blessing. But it caused, also, alongside of that, people didn't cope with the favor and blessing that came to him. And there was strife. So here we have in the scriptures, they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one. And so they named it Sitnah. Next verse. So they moved on from there. I wonder if you've ever been like us a bit. My wife and I, we went through a period, we moved and we moved and we moved and we moved and we moved. And we moved from Adelaide to Melbourne, back to Adelaide, back to Melbourne, back to Sydney, back to Newcastle, and on. A lot of moving. But they moved on from there and they dug another well and they quarreled over it. Again, second quarreling. And they named it Rehoboth, saying, "Now the Lord has given us room." Another version says, "Now the Lord has given us space, and we will flourish in the land." I have three things I want to say about this scripture. First of all, that I believe one of the misunderstandings that can come into our something I'm learning as a follower of Jesus. One of the misunderstandings that can cause me to have a space issue is if I misunderstand what prosperity and blessing looks like in another believer, in someone next to me in church, in someone that I know, in someone who perhaps I look at on a screen or I listen to a podcast or they live in another, they go to another church. Now look, this probably isn't true for the coast, right? Maybe I'm talking about Sydney, but I've noticed this, that sometimes we can get envious of another Christian for what it is that God looks to be doing in their life, or maybe the increase to their finances or the way their life looks, or perhaps their relationship world, or maybe their house, maybe it's practical things. But the thing about it is this, that the Lord has actually made room for us all to prosper. Now, you know the basic misunderstanding that was taking place in Isaac's story. Isaac was the first son to Abraham. There was only one legitimate son. You understand there was another son, but there was a legitimate son, the son of promise. There was actually only one son. And in that era, there was potentially a belief that only one son can receive the blessing. And that if one son was getting blessed, then in a sense, I could not also be blessed. But God wants you to know today that the spaciousness that belongs to you, this is very good news, as an inheritor of all that our Heavenly Father has for us, as a son and a daughter of the King, you actually have, there's multiple blessing for every single individual who calls himself a son and daughter. Isn't that good? We can clap God for that. So here's the thing. There was all this quarrelling going on, and the word Rehoboth actually means spaciousness. It's such a stunning thought, but there is spaciousness for you, for me, for the person next to you, for the person who'll come to Carol's tomorrow night who doesn't even yet know that God exists or that Jesus loves them so much. There's spaciousness for us all to belong. This is good, isn't it? There's spaciousness for us all to be prospered and to be blessed. And the thing about it is, if there's envy right now going on, in even Iscariot in your heart, or if there's some sense of kind of jostling for position, or thinking the only way I can get ahead is to, you know, is to give someone else a nudge in the ribs, or maybe you're feeling like someone's nudging you in the ribs. I'm not sure what's going on, but there is a blessing for you to actually bask in today. And there is spaciousness for you in the family of God. There's blessing for us all. God is that good. He is that abundant. He is that big that he can bless you completely beyond what you can ask, dream, or think. And the person next to you, and the person who'll come to know Jesus at Carol's tomorrow night. There is incredible blessing. And we can stop fighting today if there's any part of that going on. And we can actually just love. And we can rejoice with the person who's prospering, and we can, you know, mourn with the person who's mourning. But today there's good news. The Lord has made room. The Lord has made room for you. The Lord has made room for you. God is a God of spaciousness. The gospel is not just about pie in the sky when we die. Heaven is, I want heaven, I want heaven. But heaven on earth, there is no arguing in heaven. There's no strife in heaven. There's no envy in heaven. And heaven on earth in this space is spaciousness. We want that, don't we? So spaciousness, 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 spaciousness. You know, years ago, I studied a bit of psychology. Any kind of wise psychology counselor people in the rooms, you may have heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Anybody ever heard that language? A few of you have. And Maslow's hierarchy of needs is based on this thought that that if you like spaciousness, I'm putting my spin on it, but there's a sense for us that we get satisfaction and a feeling of being kind of looked after and whole and comfortable when a hierarchy of needs is met. And the first one of those is shelter. The first one of those is actually a place where we can live, a space to belong, a space of safety. And then it goes on to food and then having our emotional needs met and et cetera. So Jesus understands this. And my second point is the thing that is the, I believe, the doorway to spaciousness is when we have a right understanding of God's presence. When we have a right understanding of God's presence. Now, in John chapter 14, I love this scripture, and Jesus is with his disciples, and they've been with him, you know, for 3 years, and this is on the back of when he's been in the upper room with them. Think about the fact that in one version, when Jesus was born, it says there was no upper room for him in the manger, right? And now Jesus, isn't he wonderful, meets with his disciples, and it says that he prepared a place for them to meet, an upper room. a spacious room. The Bible actually says a big room. That's our Jesus. That's our Jesus. Every one of those disciples was with him in a big room, in an upper room. And then he says these words, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. One version says, let not your heart flutter. One of the biggest struggles that I believe, as I've, you know, watched people, love with people, walk with people, prayed with people, done my own life, done my own sleepless nights as a dad and as a pastor, as a business owner at one stage, one of the biggest struggles for me that can actually cause me to constrict rather than feel spacious in my heart is anxiety, is worry. Do you have anxiety on the coast, or is that just something you hear about that other people have? But Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Next scripture, my Father's house has many rooms. My Father's house, and other versions you probably heard preached sometimes at funerals, but this is actually not a funeral scripture. It's actually a now scripture. In my Father's house are many, you know the word, mansions. Mansions, like as big as you can think for spaciousness and for expansiveness and for enlargement. My Father's house has that. But you know what our Father's house is made up of that is big? It's spacious hearts that invite Jesus to dwell in them, you and me. It's actually speaking about believers. It's speaking about being temples of the Holy Spirit. It's in one level of the meaning of the scripture, it's saying in my Father's house, where my Father lives, it's no longer confined to one temple, to one building, to one church. It actually is, it's actually, my Father lives in expansive, big-hearted people. This is good news, isn't it? And so if we have a right understanding of the presence of God, then we know that my hierarchy of needs is fundamentally met when I know that I have the Holy Spirit living within me, that Jesus' presence is on me and in me, that I actually have invited him in and he's here, and that defines me and gives me security. And regardless of whether I have a house or not, regardless of whether I have a big house or a small house, it's not about that. It's actually about what's in me, and it's Jesus. And so a right understanding of presence, I believe, makes all the difference. And Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place. Now, what does he mean by that? It was actually, at this stage, before the cross, it was impossible for this to take place because Jesus had not yet gone to the cross and conquered sin, death, and the grave. He had not yet gone until he went, the Holy Spirit couldn't come, right? And so a misunderstanding of presence would say, well, back in the day, God could only live primarily in the ones and twos, right? Over the special people, over the anointed people, over the prophets, over the priests, over Jesus himself. But today he lives in us all, isn't that true? And if you've invited Jesus into your heart, then the presence actually is in you. And your hierarchy of needs, your spaciousness already exists. And today it's all about giving him more space. Who wants to do that? Let's just raise our hands. If that's you today, Father, we want you to be, we want to be a mansion for you. Oh God, would it be that every single person in this room would be filled to overflowing with your presence? Father, would you just cause us right now just to put aside those things that jostle in our kind of human hierarchy of needs? We still trust you with those needs, but most of all, God, we want to open up our hearts. We want to be spacious people for you to dwell in. God, would you come? Would you come? Would you come? And so God's a God of spaciousness, and he has prepared a place, and it's you for his Father to dwell in. The last thing I want to say, and this is kind of really cuts to in a sense, a personal story. God is a God of spaciousness, and he actually wants today for you to know that you can stop drowning or stop being overwhelmed or stop feeling like you have no space to cope. Because there's a promise of God for you, and in a sense, this is a very personal promise. My wife and I have been married for almost 35 years, and 35 years ago, before we were married, God gave us this scripture. And even now as I'm speaking, I actually trust God to quicken to you promises that he gave you, maybe not 35 years ago, but for us it was. And we read this scripture in Psalm 18. And it says, he brought me out into a spacious place. Don't you love that? He rescued me because he delighted in me. I can still remember when Eve and I at this stage, we were both senior students in Emmaus Bible College at Epping, and we were not technically supposed to have a relationship romantically, okay? And I want you to know that probably 30 years after we were at Bible College and honestly were having a romantic relationship, we actually tracked down our principal's wife in Melbourne just to go and see her, and I went and confessed to her. I said, Mrs. McDowell, I ask you to forgive me. That's a true story. But God gave us this promise. And, you know, over the last 2 years, and because this has been videoed, I'm not going to right now sort of talk about the details, but I believe the day will come when there'll be a testimony and when there'll be a complete glory to God for what he's done in our lives. But even I have been through a difficult space, and some things have happened in our world that have been really hard to deal with, and I think in the enemy's plan, he wanted to take us out of ministry, he wanted to disqualify us, he wanted to discredit us. But did you know that qualification for what we do is not based upon us? It's not even based upon Maslow's hierarchy of needs or how good things look. It's actually based on the spaciousness that God puts inside of us. And this scripture, just even like last week, as I was just waiting on God for what I would share today, it came back to me, and I thought, God, how incredible are you? Like 35 years ago, you planted in our hearts a promise that God was going to bring us out. The word of the Lord says that though, that you will walk through the fire and not be burnt, and you will go through the waters and you will not drown. And so God today, maybe this is just for one person, but it's worth saying it for you, that God wants you to know he's going to bring you out into a spacious place. He's going to bring you through. Can you say amen? And the thing that happens when we're in crisis and difficulty, we actually feel like we're restricted, right? We're constricted. We have less space. We have less capacity. We have less energy. Everything's getting consumed to do whatever it is that we're in. But God wants you to know today, he's going to bring you out, bring you through into a spacious place. And this is a great truth, because I believe there's a right understanding of purpose. So the first thing was a right understanding of, go to my notes, of, need my glasses, a right understanding of prosperity, right? Secondly, a right understanding of presence. And thirdly, a right understanding of purpose. How many times have you been alongside of somebody, maybe even felt it in your own heart, when you're going through a struggle, you feel like the purpose that you thought you were designed to live in, maybe you were imagining that, maybe you're now disqualified, maybe you can't do it, maybe God got the wrong guy. Have you ever felt that way? But God wants you to know today that your purpose is not dependent upon your circumstances. In fact, the trial that you're going through is for your purpose. It's actually for your purpose. It's intended to make you stronger, to make you bigger, to make you more persevering, to make you more determined, to make you full of faith. So today, God wants you to understand that there is a right understanding of purpose. Amen. As we close, I just have one scripture to share with you, and it's the thing is this: space is expensive. Space is really expensive. Jesus laid aside his prosperity. The Bible says that he became poor so that we can become rich. Space is really expensive. The space that God loved you so much for, that he would actually come and dwell in you, that's very expensive. It cost him everything. It cost Jesus everything. And today I just feel, in a gentle way, just to, I'll use the word admonish, it's in my spirit right now, to admonish anybody who would take casually that which God is gifting you with, his very presence inside of you. Don't squander that. Don't take it for granted. Value it. Value it. You are so valued. You are so valuable in the eyes of the Father. And Jesus was made poor that you could be made rich. And the thing is, there's no Airbnb back in the day when Jesus had no place to stay. You couldn't go on Expedia.com. He couldn't do a what if. But the Holy Spirit doesn't need any of those things right now to freshly come upon you and remind you how valuable you are. And he's looking for a space. He doesn't need to use any technology. Right now, the presence of the Lord is here for each of us in the room to freshly say, God, I want to be that mansion for you. God, I want to freshly embrace everything that is your purpose for my life. If you're in a struggle today, there's good news for you. You're going to come through. If you're in a place where God's presence sort of comes in and out and you're not completely focused, I encourage you over these next few days particularly. It's Christmas, right? This is the God with us time. The witness of God is the most remarkable thing that you can imagine. No other, and I don't want to call Christianity a religion because it's not. The thing that makes it what it is, it's a relationship. And no other faith, no other thing that calls itself religion has anything like this, where the very God of heaven comes to dwell inside of us, that we would be a mansion for him. Isn't that wonderful? It's such good news. So today I just want to encourage, maybe you're in the room today and you have never particularly grasped the truth that God loves you so much that he wants to make a way to have relationship with you, to actually come and live inside of you, that you would share life with him. This is not about it's kind of hell insurance as much as the truth of it is this, that that we completely get quarantined from everything that is the absence of God. The absence of God is hell on earth, right? The presence of God is heaven. That's what we want right now on earth. And today, I'm encouraging everybody in the room, just while all eyes are closed, if you think, David, I've never actually invited Jesus to be Lord of my life. I've never understood that what Jesus did was to prepare a place for me by going down into the pit of hell and to conquering the devil, because he's a liar. He has no truth. He comes and robs and kills and destroys. And anything that you've given space to in your life that you know is not from God, I want to let you know it's from the enemy. And today there's a way out of that. There's a way up. The Bible says he's rescued us from the pit. And if you're in the pit today, there's a way through. The Bible says, look up, look up, look up, look up, look up. Jesus is there. He loves you. He's given everything for you. And if you have for the first time thought of that and understood that, and something in your spirit is leaping right now because you know you need to say yes to Jesus, I just encourage you to put your hand up in the room where I can see you. I just want to pray for anybody in the room who today is saying, Jesus, Jesus, I want you to come in and be in my life. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. Thank you, Father. So I just want you to stand. I'm going to pray a blessing of spaciousness over this wonderful church. If you want that, just stand and open up your hands. Oh God, what a wonderful God you are. God, we know spaciousness comes out of your generous, your loving heart. And God, today in the name of Jesus, I pronounce a blessing of spaciousness, God, over this people. God, a blessing of room for the King. God, a blessing of room for the presence. God, a blessing of room for purposefulness. God, a blessing of room, God, right now for prosperity. God, I thank you right now, God, you're doing a wonderful work. And in the name of Jesus, I come against anything, God, that is competing with what you want to do. And I bind it and I break it and I just cast it out. And God, we welcome who you are today.